Welcome everybody, Tejpal here, and I'm thrilled to have you on the call for this time together, because we are exploring how we can handle any crisis, and the time is right to explore that topic. So my name is Tejpal. All the work that I do is to help each and everyone to find more joy and more meaning in their lives. I've done that work for about 30 years, and I combine intuition, energy healing, life coaching, and yogic technology. And so I want to talk a little bit about the gray period, or what the yogis called the gray period, because that's the period we are in. So we are shifting from the Piscean era to the Aquarian era. And the yogis have noticed about that because they used to really study a lot of things. And they realized that the Earth rotates, and during the rotation of the Earth, eventually after some thousand years, that rotation just shifts a little bit, and the planet doesn't have the exact same position in the galaxy. And when that is happening, the magnetic field of the planet Earth changes. And therefore, we as human beings, we need also to change our magnetic field and to reset our nervous system and our glandular system. And so when there is a change of frequency in the energy field of the planet, that means it's a change of value. It's a change of pretty much everything. And each time we have a change, we have chaos. Each time there is transition, there is chaos. So the transition to the Piscean era, where knowledge was really, really, really important, where we followed leaders, people who knew, where we had perhaps only one identity, that's the Piscean era. And the shift towards the Aquarian age is, well, there is no leader to follow. There is no really gurus to follow as well. We have to find our own leader and our own guru within. And we, more than just one identity, we're not defined by the church we go to, the party we vote for, how we dress, and so forth. We are just more a blend, multifacets of identities. And in some ways, we can say, wow, it's beautiful, it's amazing. But in another way, it's also more challenging to stay connected with the truth of who we are, because we can be very distracted to say, oh, but I could be this, and I want to be that, and what about this, and what about that, and I want to do this. And because things seem to be more available, there is that constant distraction. And so in order to just find that sense of peace and inner stability, we really need to enhance the frequency of our soul and to challenge the ego. Because quite frankly, we're not going to stop the chaos, or most of the chaos that is happening at the planet level, between countries, could be at the financial level, it could be at many levels. We're not going to be able to stop it. The wave is too strong. But what we can do is train ourselves so that we don't have to go into the linear mind, the one that goes into speculation and catastrophic scenarios and so forth. And we can just say, hey, whatever that is, we are going to be okay, whatever okay means. But you find that level of stability so that we don't speed, or we don't go into unnecessary judgment and so forth. So we have chosen to live in the gray period. How cool that is. That means we have the capability, the ability to find that notion of stillness within. And if you listen to all the gurus that have passed, you know, not that long ago, 10, 15 years ago, they all were talking about that. I mean, Osho keeps saying, hey, you're going to know through experience. Yogi Bhajan, you're going to know through your intuition, through your sensory system. Osho used to say that ignorance is just believing that knowledge is it. I think it's a great view to do things. So, and Yogi Bhajan used to call that period, that gray period, the cold depression. It says people will be numb. Their soul will be numb. And it called it also the silence of the soul. So we don't want that, really, because that doesn't serve us. And so we want to reactivate who we are. So let's start with the meditation. But before even we jump into that, be sure to have some paper handy. And if you have a candle, just have a candle and just have that by you, because we're going to use it at some point. If you don't have a candle, that's fine too. So close your eyes. Close your eyes and be in a comfortable position. So be sure that your feet are on the floor and that your face is relaxed, that your shoulders are also dropping down and open, your heart center is open, your belly is soft. And from that place, you're going to bend, if you are female, you're going to bend the left arm. If you are male, you're bending the right arm. The palm is facing forward. And you're going to bring the ring finger and the thumb together. But you don't have the fingers touching, just the tip of both fingers, thumb and ring touching together. So index and middle fingers are straight, and also your pinky finger is straight. So that's the mudra on the left side for female or on the right side for male. And then if you're female, on the right side, your palm is on your lap facing up, and you bring the thumb and the ring finger together. So the three other fingers are straight and together. If you're male, that's going to be the left hand. From that place, mudras are very important because they impact the frequency of energy of your nervous system and your brain. So from that place, your eyes are one-tenth open. And you do some long, deep breathing through the nose, long, deep breath through the nose, in and out through the nose. Your eyes are one-tenth open. And if you feel like it, you can mentally vibrate a mantra in your head, and you can vibrate the mantra, sa, ta, na, ma, S-A-T-A-N-A-N-A, on the inhale and on the exhale. So we're going to do that for about 3 minutes together, that meditation. initial cycle, and at the end of your cycle, take a deep breath in, hold the breath in, and release the breath. And so that's a beautiful, simple, quiet meditation. You could do it for 11 minutes, but you start with 3 or 4 minutes. It's a great meditation to really strengthen your nervous system. So right now, I want you to take a sheet of paper and write down your 5 bodies. So that means on the left side, you're going to write physical. Then you're going to write a little down underneath that. You're going to write emotional and then mental and then heart and then spiritual. To make it simple, that's who we are. We are made of 5 bodies. Many traditions speak about the fact that we have more than the physical body. Depending on the tradition you follow, the yogis from the Kundalini yoga tradition will say we have 10 bodies. In the Kabbalah, they say we have 9. In ancient Egypt, we say we have 9. But to keep it simple, we're going to keep those 5 bodies, the physical, emotional, mental, heart, and spiritual. They are interconnected, and they work together. So a lot of time when we experience transition and crisis, the physical, the emotional, and the mental are going to run the show. And the heart and the spiritual are going to be the 2 bodies that are going to shut down. And so obviously what we want to have the heart and the body really, really strong and to reset the mental, the emotional, and the physical. So we can dismiss those because we live in a physical body, but we want to reset them. So a simple question to reset your first 3 body, the physical, emotional, and mental, is to answer the question, what nourishes my physical body? What nourishes my emotional body? What nourishes my mental body? And you see, I use the verb nourish. I don't say what is good for the physical, because I may think that what is good for the physical is sleeping 8 hours, you know, being sure that I eat whatever, celeries or whatever else. But I know it's going to be good for my body. But when I think about nourishment, really nourishment, that may not be my first choice. My first choice may be, sitting in front of a fire and having a little blanket, and even better, having somebody I love by me or with me in that same room feels really good. That is going to nourish my physical body, just watching a fire. So what I want you to explore is really the nourishment. Instead of going through the rules of what we should do at the physical level and so forth. And for the emotional, it's the same thing. What does nourish you? For some of you, it maybe you need more rest. That could be part of the emotional body. For some of you, it could be you need more play, more playful time. And for me, it's going to be more creativity. You know, I realized this morning, and I was looking at some of the paintings that I have done, that I haven't done any paintings for a long time. I said, wow, I miss it. So again, we're talking about something that's unique to you. And nourishment brings that just kind of soul quality in it. And then if you look at the mental, same thing. It's not about what you should know, what you need to know, what, you know. That is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about when I feel good. So you may be like a butterfly. I want to know a little bit about this. I want to know a little bit about that, perhaps. or read a couple of pages of that book because that feels good and then I'm fed. So take a couple of minutes to first go through the first three, the physical, the emotional, and the mental, and answer the question through these lenses, the nourishment part. I'm going to give you about one more minute. If you need more time, obviously take more time, but that could be a great exercise to do daily for a little while. A little while means at least 2 weeks, so 15 days in a row would be the minimum. You could go longer than that, a few minutes. Okay, so I'm hoping you started to get a few insights here on about how, what could you do to reset the physical body, the emotional body, and the mental body. What could you do to nourish it? You can always look at the healthy part, but that's not what I'm interested in today. That nourishment is not a luxury, by the way. It's as important as the other stuff, that whatever you think you should do at those three levels. And then we're going to, you know, look at the heart and look at the spiritual on how those two, we can enhance them so that you can feel that level of stability no matter what's going on in the world or around you. And so for that, you're going to take another sheet of paper and on the left side, and you're going to split the sheet into, like you're going to have two columns. And on the left side, you're writing the word self. And on the right side, we're writing the word soul. And you can make a circle around it. And so my question now, we're not forgetting about the heart and the spiritual, but we're working this way. The question is, what do you need at the self level to feel good? What do you need at the self level to feel good? And I'm going to give you some example of mine. So for me, at the self level to feel good, when I look at myself, I need to feel safe, you know. And feeling safe could be at many levels. I need to feel safe financially, so I'm sure that I get, you know, some regular income there, so that's a sense of safety. I need to feel loved. I need to experience diversity of self-expression. And to feel a sense of abundance. And abundance doesn't mean more stuff. Abundance means as soon as I'm thinking about somebody, it's going to be easy to connect to that person. As soon as I'm thinking of that, it's going to be easy to manifest it, type of thing. So it's a form of abundance that I am in the flow. So that could be a few ideas for what I need at the self level. And then if I look at the soul, you know, what do I need? What does my soul need to feel good? And for me, the first thing I connect to is, there are three things that came up. The first one was music. You know, music is very important. So I'm going to write music around that circle. And then I just love beauty. So when my home feels beautiful to me, that means no clutter. That means I love the colors. That means I enjoy my wooden floor and so forth, whatever that is. Ah, then I connect at the soul level. So beauty is going to be important for me. And then the third one is that notion of love, but like connectedness, that notion of feeling connected to everything. So those are the three things. But I want you now to give you some time and to answer for yourself is when you just put yourself just at the self level, what do you need? And at the soul level, what do you need? So same thing, take a couple of minutes to start to answer those two questions. And notice the distinction between the two. Each time I start to go to the right side of this page and start to explore, what does my soul mean? It almost makes me smile. I feel safe. I feel connected. I feel I don't have to get caught into any kind of drama, mine or anybody else. I feel I can just expand. It's like, oh, wow. And so if music is really something that's so important for my soul, then do I really take the time to put on really some music that I really love? If beauty is so important for my soul, is there anything else I could do to enhance, to make it even more beautiful, as simple as adding a candle somewhere, doing this, doing that? If I feel that I am love, and that sense of connectedness, what else could I do to feel that sense of connectedness with everything and anyone? Should I just do more teaching? Is that where I want to go? That could be one. Can I just do a meditation when I feel connected to everything and everyone? So then I start to be curious. But if I only stay at the self level and I go into, oh, yeah, safety. Yeah, that's important. Oh, yeah, I need to be sure I can pay my bills. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, I don't want to be alone, although I don't feel that. So that's whatever your thing is going to be. We can get easily stuck when we just look at self. So what you could do with that exercise, because it's a simple exercise, but you could have like a big sheet of paper and put it somewhere. If you have an office space in your house, so put it there on the wall and keep feeding. Keep feeding those two. Just be real. Be real about what you need at the self level, because that needs to be taken care of. And expand what you need at the soul level and feed those two. So you have, because when we respect how we function and what we need, then we can really expand. If we don't respect our sense of safety, then it's not going to work. So, having said that, what also I invite you to do is a form of journaling that can really help a lot of you. I love to do it sometime again for a couple of months. And you write from the soul. So, you're not the one who is writing. This is not Tejpal that's writing. It's my soul that's writing. And so I am just the channeler. I'm just the postman here. I'm just the spiritual postman. I'm just writing, journaling that letter that my soul is sending to me. And when you do that, so when you step back to let your soul be the leader, the writer there, it's kind of a, I will say, delicious process. And I invite you to do that every day for a little while. It's a beautiful practice. I know I always give lots of homework, so you're going to have to choose the one that works for you, but I give you options. I love this one. So I can't wait to see you doing this one, some of you, and you can always email me to let me know how that journaling works for you. So before we keep on going, I want to be sure so far that I'm clear, and I want to help as many as I can. So I'm going to open the call if anyone is interested in getting some help, or if anyone is having a question, I'd be more than happy to help you. And the way to do it is you press star 2 on your phone. You press star 2 on your phone. And then I can see that you have a question. And if you don't, then I will keep on sharing more processes and more meditation. Okay, so you guys are good for now, so we're going to keep on going. So, we are going to do two meditations right now, almost in a row. And one of them is a meditation that Osho used to teach. And same thing, you always start to check your physical body, so put your feet on the floor. Be sure that your back is straight, your shoulders are open and relaxed, your face is soft, your belly is soft, your lower jaw is soft. Your hands are also relaxed on your lap. They could be facing down or facing up. It really doesn't matter. And at this moment, if you are visual, visualize that you are headless. You don't have a head anymore. It's just a body without your head. If the visual is hard for you, you can feel that. So feel that you're just a body up to the base of your neck. And you're going to drop there and experience yourself this way. And same thing, we're going to do that for a couple of minutes. Take a deep breath in. Hold the breath in. And release the breath. So if you have never done a headless meditation, it may be a little strange at the beginning, but if you stay really focused, that meditation will give you lots of energy in your physical body, by the way. Each time I do it, I realize, wow, my head takes a lot of my energy. And so as you keep learning, it's like in yoga or in different practices, if you do the same exercise over and over and over, you experience the vastness of it. And here that the same, particularly for this one, if it's really new, you're going to experience the vastness of it. And you give a chance to your body just to be more present again. So, if you have a candle handy, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, then that's going to be our next meditation. It's what I call the candle meditation. If you don't have one, go get one. And if you don't have any, you're going to do it by closing your eyes. Otherwise, you just sit and you look at the flame of the candle. Your face is relaxed. You look at that flame as if you were looking in the mirror. Your face is soft, your gaze is soft, and you stay there and you let yourself merging with the flame. Watching the colors, watching the dance. Let's do that for a few minutes. Bring the flame into your heart center. Feel that your heart center is holding also the center of your chest, that flame. The body is soft and relaxed. Let the flame be you. Because that's who you truly are. Receive. Receive. feel that you're at home. It's like, oh yeah, that is me. Right there. And same thing, take a deep breath in, hold the breath in, and release the breath. So in some ways, it's a kind of a blessing meditation. And that's another one that you can do. So we already have explored three different kind of meditations here. And we already explored two kind of processes, one to nourish your lower bodies, the physical, the emotional, and the mental. And then we explore another process to respect your soul, to nourish your soul, and to pay attention to yourself, so to have compassion for the self. So we explore the heart and the soul. And then we did the meditation to strengthen the nerves, headless meditation, and candle meditation. So really there. And then we have also explored the idea of journaling on the soul. So you already have a lot of, I think, options there, but we're going to keep on exploring because I love to share different processes because each of you is different. So you may not want to do everything, obviously, but you may want to pick one that just calls you today, that say, oh, yeah, that feels right. And you just stop there. And you just pick that and just keep on going. And maybe a couple of weeks from now, you look at your notes and you say, oh, what about that one? And you decide. But since we are really wanting to enhance our soul vibration and our heart vibration, because the heart really is that place where you're going to access your intuition and you will connect your inner wisdom, and that's what we need now, is we want to be curious about what's in the way to connecting to your soul. And so you can simply explore a few things. And as you do that, just you can start by answer that question, what's in my way to connecting to my soul? What is it? Is it that I spend too much time on the web or on whatever social media? Is it that I'm worrying too much about this? Is it that I don't sleep enough or I don't sleep well? Whatever that is. Just start to spontaneously write down a few things. And then we're going to go back to another question, almost the polarity of that question, which is, what brings me peace of mind? What brings me peace of mind? What is it? Because we need to train this mind every single day. You cannot live a day without training this mind, because this mind of yours will make you crazy and will make you crazier with the period we are living, with the gray period, I guarantee. So we have at least three ways we can help the mind to stay still. If you love the physical body, number one way, then do things that feels right at the physical level. Dance, move, run, do yoga, do CrossFit, I don't care what you do, bicycle, gentle walk, but do something there. Because when you do that, then the mind is not going to grab as much. Number two option to train this mind is if you love any kind of art, then be an artist. And you don't have to sell your art to be an artist. Just be an artist. If you love to paint, paint, draw, take pictures, do photography, sing, dance, cook is a form of art. Gardening in some ways is a form of art. So any kind of creative activity will help the linear mind, the one that just is not balanced, just to drop. That's option number two. Option number three is to do some meditations. And the one that we explore today, tell anyone, but if you have been into my previous healing circles, I always give lots of different meditations, so you have an abundance of tools and options here. But we need at least to do one of those three every single day. Otherwise, you're going to think that your thoughts are real, and then we are in trouble. So what gives me a peace of mind? And what's in the way to connecting to my soul? So what you're just curious about that, then you can go to the next level, which is, what do I need to cut off my life? What do I need to cut off my life? What do I need just to be done with? Really, because I know it doesn't serve me. So there are things we can't be subtle. It's way easier sometimes to cut off than to cut back. But that will be the second, the following question. So first question, what do I need to cut off? And the next question is, what do I need to cut back? So we're doing a little bit of clearing here. So basically we're exploring what needs to go. What needs to go? And again, you can do that beautiful exercise, which is for 40 days, you decide to drop something, to let go of something. So for some people, it could be a habit. For some people, it could be in objects that they don't need, it clothes or whatever, or a connection that is not useful, or something that you used to be doing that's useless for you, that's not necessary anymore. So just clearing, creating more clarity about who you are. And each time you cut off or you cut back, you bless it. Because it's not about saying no to anyone or anything. It's about saying yes to you. And then you can also do another piece of journaling, which is all about what I call your radical truth, being completely true. And so here you can focus every day on one truth you are deciding to express. So if you live with someone, it could be with that person. What can I say that I haven't said yet about that relationship that I'm having with that person? And what can I say that that maybe I'm afraid of saying? And sometimes it could be some challenging things, but sometimes it also could be some beautiful things that you haven't said about that relationship or that person. But here, it's all about truth telling. And all of us, we can always improve to stay still a few minutes in the morning and to think about, what do I need to say to whom? Because each time you share your truth, same thing, you enhance who you truly are. You enhance your heart vibration and your soul vibration. And when those two are really, really strong, everything else is going to just find their own way. Really. So you have here one more journaling you can do. So to close our time together, I want to give one more meditation. And this one, we're going to use a stroke breath, because strokes is a great technique to break the patterns of the brain. And that's what we need to do at this time. And so you are going to inhale in four strokes through the nose, and you will exhale in two strokes through the mouth. So four strokes in through the nose, two strokes out through the mouth. And as you do that, your dominant hand is going to be on your belly, above your navel, and your non-dominant hand is going to be on your heart center, the center of your chest. Now, same thing, be sure that your feet are on the floor. And let's explore that meditation, that breath pattern. And now keep on doing that same breath pattern, but this time instead of inhaling through the nose in four strokes, you inhale through the mouth. And then you exhale in two strokes through the nose. And you're going to do five cycles of that. And then take a deep breath in through the mouth. Hold the breath in. breathe a little more. And release the breath through the nose. The first part of that breath, inhaling in four through the nose, exhaling in two through the mouth, helps you to ground, to stay connected. And once then you reverse the breathing using the mouth instead of the nose, it just opens you up completely into more higher frequency of energy. But first we'd like to ground to just do that. So again, you have one more option there. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being on the call. And thank you, thank you, thank you for those who are not on the call but will listen to the recording. I wish you a great transition toward the new year and to really enjoy as much as we can this beautiful gray period that we are in. With much love, have a great evening. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.